You have arrived at your destination.
This is Jason Alon from the Fever 333, and you're listening to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. Boy.
That's right, Wildlings. You have arrived at your destination. It's the Sean versus Wild podcast. And of course, I'm your host, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio, America's second favorite music podcast, the world's second favorite music podcast, guys. And today on the show, you've asked for them week in and week out, and now your man is going to deliver. That's right. I'm talking to Karen. I'm talking to Ray. I'm talking to Girlwood right here on the Sean vs. Wild podcast this week. A very highly, highly anticipated guest, and your boy got him. It's a little rough. It's a little wild, but, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way, and I don't think they would either, guys. We're having a great time. We're talking all kinds of stuff. We're talking about their brand new album, Daddy, that's out on Sonoblast Records. We're talking about the gathering of the Juggalos and ICP. We're talking about an 11-pound pizza. We're talking about their upcoming show, Spooky Fest, and all kinds of great stuff, man. We had an awesome time, but do bear with me. The recording can be a little rough at times, and they're in the middle of a lot of stuff going on in the city. There's sirens in the background. There's dogs howling. There's all kinds of stuff, but we're still having a great time. It's punk rock. That's what it's all about, guys. Right here on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. That's what you're getting today because you've asked me for it. I am going to deliver on that promise. And guys, hopefully you're having a great week so far. I know I'm having a great week. And again, I say that every single week. I'm going to be introducing a brand new segment to the intro. I like this intro, but you know, it's just so much of the same thing week in and week out. I don't want you to skip through it. So I'm going to give you a brand new segment right here on Sean vs. Wild, the very first one ever. Joe, cue the music. It's cool. It's so new, we don't even have music. It's called Recommendations. I'm going to sing it. Recommendations. Recommendations, dude. I'm going to be recommending stuff for you to check out. Recommendations. It's like my name and recommendations put together. I think you guys get it, okay? And if not, just send me an email. I'll type it out for you. Check it out. Recommendations. First and foremost, this is a two-part recommendation right off the bat. A couple nights ago, went and saw The Fever at the Tiger Room, The Fever 333. Guys, if you haven't yet, I recommend that you check them out. I know it might sound a little late to the game, but this is the first time I was able to see them live. I've seen Let Live many times. I've seen The Chariot many times. But to get to see Steven and Jason in this new project, amazing. The live show is everything you would expect, super high energy. And if you haven't yet, pick up The Fever 333, Made in America. That album is so sick. I've been jamming it all day long. And yeah, it's great. You guys probably saw a little teaser on Instagram with me talking to Jason. Yeah, we've got a podcast in the works. We're not done with it yet. We've got something special. We're going to put something together for you. So that'll come out, you know, just whenever it's ready, okay? You can't rush greatness. But just know, Jason Butler will be on the Sean vs. Wild podcast in one way or another. You might have actually heard him earlier right there at the intro. But it's going to happen. There's more to come on that. Second part of that recommendation, like I said, two-part recommendation. You got to go see shows at the Tiger Room, okay? Trixie's has always been an awesome venue to go see shows. The sound has been awesome there. But, you know, of course, people got hangups because it's also a strip club. Now you don't have to worry about that. Tiger Room completely sectioned off from the adult entertainment. You never have to, if you're not interested in that sort of thing, you don't have to be around it. And what's cool about it is you can have an all-ages show right there at the Tiger Room. Now, if you like, a lot of awesome bands are going to be coming through. Big shout out to Trey. Hey, maybe I'll talk to Trey on this podcast. You will never know, guys, until it happens. But yeah, big shout out there. The Tiger Room, go see a band there. The sound is awesome. It's going to be a great venue coming up. So yeah, and if you do like the adult entertainment, just go to the next room. It's one room over. If you're feeling saucy, my friend, and you want to see some cool butts, one room over. But yeah, that's part two of Sean's recommendations. Part three, dude, Pizza Hut thin crust pizza. Yeah, I'm all over the place here, but I had a thin crust pizza over the weekend, and dude, Pizza Hut, I know what you're thinking. Oh, that's a big chain. I could go to some authentic place and get a great piece of pizza. Something about this, man, it's like a cracker crust. It's so thin. It's like almost like two layers of crackers with air in the middle. It's like a tortilla chip or something like that. I don't know. It's so crispy and airy. Definitely get it. Pizza Hut, thin crust pizza. Also, check out My Mind Makes Noises, a brand new record by Pale Waves. Just came out. You guys have probably checked out their singles before. If you're a fan of a band like the 1975 or something like that, Maddie from the 1975 produces them. They sound very similar. Female singer, female drummer, and just got the album. Just came out full length. Got it on Friday, and I've been spinning that one too. So that's another recommendation for you. And also a big recommendation, number five, last but certainly not least, if you need anything sound-wise, you got to go to Joe Brock. That dude has been booping dials for me. This is episode 97, I think it is. Yeah, so you got to go to Joe if you have anything that you need done. That guy's going to make it happen for you. And I'm sure next week, the recommendation's music is going to blow your fucking mind. So definitely check it out. Also, on my recommendations, I said last but not least to Joe, but I just remembered, you got to go to Cropped Out Fest. Last week, I talked to Ryan Davis. Make sure you go to Cropped Out Fest, 10-5, 10-6, October 5th, October 6th, and it's going to be American Turner's Field down there by the river, man, by Captain's Quarters and all that good sort of thing. Cropped Out Fest. I will be there, so you will need to go hang out, say hello. Check it out. Check out everything that's going on there. And guys, of course, check out my awesome sponsors, Audiophile Inc., Shane from Audiophile Inc. has been taking care of me with my screen printing stuff. He's been taking care of Foxbat. He's been taking care of a lot of people around here, and he's been doing it forever, for fucking ever, man. He's been doing it a long time, and he can do it for you, and he's going to give you the best deal in town, no matter what town that you're located in, man. And he's going to ship to all 50 nifty United States, okay? So whether you're in, you know, Fresno, or you're in Tacoma, or you're in, you know, Philadelphia, on and on and on. Best deal ever, period. Audiophileinc.com. Tell them the Wild Man sent you. Also, big shout out, Audible. You guys know Audible. It's an Amazon company. Over 180,000 million bajillion audiobooks for you to choose from. And by going to audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild, that is right, audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild, you are going to get a free 30 days to see what this fuss is all about. And trust me, you'll know what the fuss is all about, buddy, when you get that audiobook and you're going to be chilling, checking it out, getting information, and you don't even have to read, man. Doesn't make your eyes hurt or anything. You just listen. And yeah, audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. Sign up, free 30 days, and get your fix, buddy. So yeah, that's it for recommendations. That's it for sponsorships. And really, that's it for the intro, guys. My conversation with Girlwood begins right now, so get ready, get rowdy, and of course, let's get wild. All right, right at the top of the hour, I have to make sure to call myself out for being an idiot. I literally wrote down in my notes, her name is pronounced Ray, not Reg. So I wanted to make sure not to come in super hot right at the beginning of the podcast, being like, oh yeah, we've got Karen, we got Reg, the Regmeister, right here on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. But yeah, you said you were telling me off air that you do get Reg from time to time.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm not the only stupid idiot around there, guys. Guys and girls in Louisville, it is Ray. It's not Reg. All right, we'll make it happen. But yeah, guys, today on the show, I do have Karen and I do have Ray from Girlwood, and I have to tell you, ladies, that very highly requested guest for this podcast.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah, words out on you, Girlwoods. Yeah, but everybody's like, you guys have to get, or you have to get Girlwood on the show. You have to talk to him. And I first saw you guys at the benefit show at Magbar, and that was awesome. I caught your set, and I had to send you the email.
Oh, you see us at Magbar?
Yeah, with Foxbat and with Greyhaven.
Oh, the
that was a
stacked lineup. I was happy to see Greyhaven for the first time. I've heard so much about them.
Yeah, I love the dudes in Greyhaven, and they're one of my favorite local bands. And it was just so awesome, like getting to see you guys because I've been hearing about you so much and very highly requested guest for the show. And you guys did not disappoint me. I love it, dude. It's just very so loud and raw, and it's punk rock at a time when punk rock is the safest it's probably ever been.
Wow. Cool.
Great.
I'm supposed to be talking a lot, but I'm just like,
I'm barely. I went like 3 minutes ago. I had an alarm set like 2:57 p.m.
Yeah, so you're just waking up, huh?
Yeah,
we had a show last night at the Mercury Ballroom, and Karen's definitely like the networking side of Girlwood and navigates that very well. So
Karen's
just waking up.
Yeah, needless to say, Karen's had a long night rubbing elbows. You know what I'm saying? Taking down names and
Karen's
numbers.
Karen's good at it, dude. Karen's great.
Small talk and just being able to like I don't know open a conversation I guess with a random person or I don't know find something good with somebody.
Don't worry about it. We're just gonna be talking about
Karen's like real nice. Easy to talk to and like genuinely get to know people and love to learn new things.
Well, Reggie's really nice too, and everyone should call her Reggie.
No, fuck!
I don't correct people when they call her Reg, actually. It's really funny to me, but...
Karen's like, Reggie!
Reggie! Is this the Reggie's name, like, I think, ever? Which is, I don't know, kind of a cool thing sometimes, you know?
Well, excellent. Guys, and this isn't just the Karen and Big Reg podcast. This is actually the Sean versus Wild podcast as well here. And today on the show, I've got Girlwood. You guys wanted it. You got it. So, let's go ahead and just start from the start. Let's start from the beginning. How did you guys link up? How did Girlwood come to fruition?
Karen, you want to answer that?
Sure. So, I was with some friends, and we were like, let's play ping pong. And so we went to Time and Space, and there was this girl playing guitar and playing some drums with her feet. It was Ray. And she was fucking killing it. And I was like, bam, I need to play with her. So I waltzed up to her and was like, yo, I play drums. And she was like, damn, bitch. I would love a girl drummer. And then we played a show like 2 weeks later, and then that was August of 2017. And so we just had our 1 year anniversary as a two-piece, but I know Ray had been doing solo Girlwood since January of 2017. But that is in a nutshell how we formed.
I just love everything that we have going on. There's sports games. There's birds whistling. I've got a guy mowing the lawn. But you know what? We are making this happen right now. Yeah, and when I was doing a deep dive on your guys' on your band, now I did see some stuff where you were playing a suitcase.
All right, say that again, Sean.
I was going to say,
guys, I have dogs. Sorry.
When I was doing a deep dive on the background of the band, I noticed that there was some solo shows where you were playing a suitcase.
Oh yeah, So when I first started Girlwood, I was hear that Louisville come out real hard. When I started Girlwood, I was Girlwood. I started Girlwood in so I've been like a traveling more like tramping. I have been like a tramp and tramping are two different things now that I say the words out loud. Anyway, so I was tramping for about 6 years of my life, and I was playing car in the streets, and it's just a very common very traditional way of like doing one man band music performance in the streets for money is like play box suitcase as a drum kit and stand on the pedals, or wear a drum kit on your back and kick as the pedals. Like, so you're walking, you throw your feet out and it like triggers with a string to the pedal. Or you sit on a drum, either way, playing drum and playing guitar and singing at the same time is like an old traditional technique. And I moved back to the U.S. and I started doing that. And I was trying to get people involved in my project. Like I tried to incorporate, I don't know, there are a couple people I tried to incorporate that I knew that were like really involved in the local music scene. I really wanted someone to reach out to. So I reached out to like a couple, like Yoko Molotov or Sweater Meat and the Tycoons of Teen. I reached out to like some of the members of like what used to be Bonus City. I reached out to like some members of Comforter. I reached out to like a lot of members of people doing music that I like and here in the city, and I was like, hey, about this project, would you guys be interested? And everyone was like, no. And I was like, damn, well, that sucks. So I just did it by myself, and I was like, I'm not about to sit here and like wait for people to just want to play music with me. I'm just gonna do it, you know, by my fucking self, because I'm gonna do it either way. And I was doing it, and I did it pretty solidly for a couple months, and then I met Kenny playing, because that's all I knew was gonna happen, you know. It was like, you can't just like sit there and be like, oh, I want this thing, but not do anything for it, you know, and expect it to happen. So I was like, I just have to start somewhere, and what needs to happen will totally happen. And then boom, I met Dan. So, honestly, there's been a couple people that have come up to me and they have said, like, I regret not picking up on the offer beforehand. But I think there's a lot of reasons behind that, why that happened. There's like a lot of things that have to do with like Louisville being the city it is and the music scene being sometimes what it can be and
being really tightly knit. I know, like, me personally, I moved to Louisville in 2015. So, the first time I ever played a show was 1 month before meeting Ray. So I was definitely like a nobody in Louisville music scene, you know? So it was cool of Ray to just take me in. And I'm always like, I can't believe people said no to her project. I'm always like, oh my God. I always feel like maybe I like barely squeezed in, like barely made it in or something. But yeah.
Well, the joke's on them, guys, and they're calling you out by name. So all those unanswered emails, you're going to have to live with that. I'll have you know, fellow Louisville musicians out there, because Girlwood is just absolutely killing it, knocking it out of the park. And I couldn't help but just picture Ray in your story of Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins when he playing like the, you know, like the cymbals with his knees and the big bass drum on the back.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about. So that's a very traditional like setup.
Yeah, well maybe
I also thought of Mary Poppins and thought of Ray with like a little umbrella and stuff, you know.
Yeah, and just you need to, in that suitcase, you could just keep pulling out more and more instruments, you know. Again, with the Mary Poppins like scenario.
Honestly, I never really transcended past the like clarinet, drum, and singing on my pedals. I play mouth trumpet. Does that count for something?
Oh, I love mouth. Dude, give a mouth trumpet real quick.
Nailed it, guys. That was the first mouth trumpet, believe it or not. First mouth trumpet on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. So I got to give a big shout out to Ray for really being a trendsetter, guys. I'm thinking this is going to be the next big thing.
Ray, you should start for like Louisville Orchestra with your mouth trumpet. Oh my God. No homo, but that's the cutest thing.
Well, when you guys are only a two-person band, you know, you really have to improvise with the additional instruments, you know?
Right.
You just gotta throw the guitar down, you know, open up your dolphin chopper, you know, and just let the music come out. However it's gonna come out, man, you know, you just gotta let go, man. You know, you never know it's gonna come out. You know, you just gotta do it. Music everywhere, man. You know, yeah.
Sometimes that reminds me of like when they made fun of Bjork on Saturday Night Live, because like They would, the it was like Winona Ryder as Bjork, and she'd be like, sometimes I throw nickels into the ovens because everything is music. But yeah, speaking of music, how did, let's start with you, Ray. How did you, like, what influenced you to pick up a guitar?
I was 10 years old. My daddy played guitar. So he was like, by God, you're going to play guitar too. And I was like, all right.
Hell yeah, brother. That's what you said.
Hell yeah, brother.
I was like, hell yeah. And then my dad passed me a cold Coors Light. And then we just started playing Freebird immediately.
More like Led Zeppelin, but more or less, not far.
Yeah, not far. We played Stairway to Heaven while we sipped our cold Coors Lights.
Yeah, pretty much. Minus the Coors Lights, but yeah.
What about
Budweiser?
Yeah. What about you, Karen?
Or Yingling. Yingling is now the new Budweiser.
Is it?
It is. England gives, like, some money to Trump or something on here.
I had a keg of Yingling. We had a kegerator at my house, and like when when Yingling started, like, first came here, I was like, I'm going to get a keg of this. And literally after like 3 weeks of trying to drink it, I was like, I got to like throw these huge house parties because I got to get rid of this. It was just never ending, and it was just not good after the third week.
Kegs are like an optical illusion. You look at one, you're like, oh, that's not that much beer. And then you and all of your roommates, like, 2 weeks later, like, oh, my fucking God, it does not end.
I had to throw two huge house parties to get rid of it. So shout out to everybody that came to the party and drank the free Yingling. It really cleared up some space here in my kitchen. So,
yeah, thank you for saving our friend from the keg. Yeah.
From the keg. What about you, Karen? How did you, when did you take up drums? I'm a drummer myself, too, so I'm interested. I'm all in on your story here.
Oh, well, you should be. I got into music because my parents are really into music, and their friends are like, as a kid, I think my first favorite band was CCR when I was like 4 years old. And I really liked them. But my dad took me to see actually Lynyrd Skynyrd when I was three.
I saw Shoo-wee.
That was my first time. So when people were yelling Freebird, it happened. And from that day forth, I said, I must play the drums. I've always liked to beat on shit, like tap my fingers on shit. So I've always felt like a drummer, but I got my first drum set at 15 after I got pissed off at marching band.
Well, when those people were yelling Freebird, you were those people, and it happened. And that's the moral of the story, ladies and gentlemen. If you want something, go out and get it. If you want to hear Freebird, go see Skynyrd. They're going to make it happen for you. Guaranteed.
Sometimes the guitarist just died, but, go see Skynyrd.
R.I.P. Man, how many... So the guitarist just died, so how many members are left, like, original? None? Was he the last one?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know if there's any original left for real anymore. Maybe one?
Listeners out there, Solve this unsolved mystery for Karen and Ray and myself. How many original members of Lynyrd Skynyrd are left? Hit me up, SeanVersusWild@gmail.com. Let's make it happen, dude. We're going to crack that Da Vinci code. So don't say we didn't do anything today, guys. We made that happen. But yeah.
Have y'all seen Nicolas Cage's tombstone?
What?
He has a giant pyramid he's bought in St. Louis. In a cemetery, and it's got words from the National Treasure movie on it. It's, you all should Google it one day.
Is this a real thing? Did you just blow my mind?
It's huge. It's like a pyramid fit for a pharaoh he's bought.
What if he just bought the arch?
Yeah. He said Da Vinci Code, and I was like, oh, National Treasure. Oh, Nicolas Cage. Oh, Nicolas Cage's Pyramid.
It is what it is, dude.
I know it's Tom. My friends sitting next to me, they're like, that's Tom Hanks. I'm like, I realized after I said this. Nicolas Cage is not in that movie.
Nicolas Cage is a National Treasure, but he's not in Da Vinci Code. You're right. You know, I thought National Treasure, when it came out, I was like, man, this is going to be some broke-ass Da Vinci Code. And I saw the Da Vinci Code, and I was like, man, that movie kind of sucked. And then I saw National Treasure, and I was like, man, this was way better. So I'll never speak another ill word about Nicolas Cage and National Treasure ever again.
I just remember from the Da Vinci Code, the guy whipping himself.
Yeah, I can't think of who that guy is, that actor. But yeah, he was like... he's like the albino guy that like self-flagellated or something for religious purposes. I don't know. Flogged? I don't think I said the right word on that one.
I used to have like 5 roommates, and one of them would keep messing with the thermostat. So I bought like a plastic lock case for the thermostat so no one could touch it anymore, but it was this ugly box in the living room. So I was like, quick, what am I painting for this? For this plastic encasement, and someone goes Nicolas Cage, and I was like, okay. So there's like a small watercolor. It's quite good actually, but it's a small watercolor of Nicolas Cage's face, like guarding a thermostat in our apartment. It's pretty. I don't know. Anytime I hear Nicolas Cage, I just think about the guardian that guards the thermostat.
It's Cage
in our apartment. He's Cage. He really is
Cage.
What's your favorite Nicolas Cage film? Quick.
Ghost Rider. Just kidding.
Yeah, you just said the first one that came to your head, didn't you? Not your favorite?
Ghost Rider, National Treasure. What else is he in? I'm trying to think.
Raising Arizona. You know, The Rock, Con Air.
Raising Arizona is pretty all right. Is that a Wes Anderson movie?
Raising Arizona. It's a Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, shoot. They did The Matrix, right?
Close. They did like Fargo. That was the Wachowskis that did The Matrix. And they're not brothers anymore. They're just the Wachowskis.
Oh, whoa.
It's this kind of a strange story, but like, so they were the Wachowski brothers, and then one of them transed into, like, so now it's he is a female, and then the other brother did too. So they're not the Wachowski sisters or anything. They're just the Wachowskis. It's kind of a strange thing. I was like, how did that all happen? But they made The Matrix, so it all makes sense.
That's cool. Good for them. I didn't know that about them.
Yes. Fun facts,
guys.
The
Matrix is so good. I rewatched that trilogy kind of recently, and I was just like, oh, no wonder I used to think this was so good as a kid, because it really fucking is.
Because it rules. Yeah, the first one especially.
It's so fucking good.
Dude, I
want to
watch
it. That's so fun. I like all of them so much. They're fucking good. I feel like it was, honestly, I feel like it's like leagues ahead of any movie that's being made right now. I don't know. I'm not really into movies. I don't really like movies. But every time I see The Matrix, I'm like, this still beats the shit out of like all cinematography that's happening now. I don't know. Or all movie making.
I feel that. I think it's definitely true. It's definitely, I think it's in the top 10 movies like ever made. Period. My favorite part is definitely when he reaches behind his head and feels the cord. That shit always gets me.
Dude. That was a great time, too, for, like, science fiction, I guess, because, like, that late 90s, I think in kind of, like, our... just as our society, like, our society was, like, getting more and more technology-based, so, like, you got, like, The Matrix, but then also, too, like, there's so many sci-fi movies that kind of look like The Matrix, too, that were awesome, like, Equilibrium.
Yeah, like, Riddick and Blade, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got, like...
All that Y2K shit, and...
Yeah. Did you ever see Dark City? That one's pretty underrated, but that one looked awesome. It was, like, kind of looked like the video game Bioshock, where everything was, like, I don't know, like, all, like, Art Deco and everything. It was awesome.
I've not seen it, but Bioshock used to scare the shit out of me when I was like 14 playing that game in high school.
Yeah, just imagine like if Bioshock the game were a movie and Kiefer Sutherland was in it. So it's a win-win.
Kiefer Sutherland. Oh, man. That guy. I saw 24.
Oh, yeah. 24 is amazing. I had this I had this like fake looking Halliburton briefcase that all the DVD seasons came in. Yeah, it's pretty legit. I was pretty serious about 24 at one point.
That's so corny.
But guys, just to get back on track here with the music stuff, because man, we really went down that Nicolas Cage rabbit hole right there. You guys put out an album this year called Daddy on Sonoblast. How did you guys get hooked up with Sonoblast?
Well, hold on. How did we get hooked up with Sonoblast? We were playing a show, and there's this guy was texting me, and I didn't know anything about him. I just knew he was, I was like, he emailed me, and I was like, okay, here's my number. He's like, we can meet up. And I'm like, I have no idea who this is. And he's like, hey, this is my Lala, and I'll be wearing a Norwegian sweater. And for some reason, we got on the thing of like, oh, no shit. I speak a bit of Norwegian. And he's like, all right. We start chatting. He's like, I'll come to your show. And I'm like, that's cool. And he comes to the show, and then I hear back from him a couple of days later, something, I don't know, and then find out that was Bill Holland, the guy who Sonoblast is his, and had another follow-up meeting with him, and essentially he's like, all right, well, this is what my vision, this is what I have to offer. I was like, whoa.
Gil's really awesome.
Yeah, Gil's really awesome.
Well, and I heard
it's really great to work with, honestly.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but awesome things about the label. So, Bill, if you're listening, go ahead. Let's get some of your other artists. Or you go ahead and come on the Sean versus Wild podcast. Let's have a conversation. And Ray, I heard the story that you told, but I was really thinking it would be cooler if the story from here on out would be, you know, I was working at a cubicle, and then I get a package with a ringing phone, and it turns out it was Morpheus. And by Morpheus, we mean Bill from Sonoblast.
I mean, like, minus the office and minus the package ringing phone, I was kind of it.
Yeah, basically.
So, like, pretty much exactly like that, but nothing like that. But yeah.
So how did you get hooked up?
If we make a girl with movie, that's how it will go down.
Yeah, so if anybody asks you, like, so how did you get hooked up with Sonoblast? Well, have you seen The Matrix? Basically, just it's a shot-for-shot remake of The Matrix.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, you guys put out an album this year called Daddy. What are some themes, for someone that's never heard Girlwood before, what are some of the themes? What's Girlwood all about to someone? How would you describe it to someone that's never heard you guys before?
Angry, probably. I don't know. Sarcastic?
Yeah. Angry, sarcastic, but at times kind of dreamy, but then we just rip you back down.
Yeah.
Love crying, whiny crybaby, fucking crybaby, wannabe oppressed, feminist, liberal snowflake.
Terrible human.
Feminist cancer trash.
Sounds fantastic. Sounds wonderful. Guys, if you've never heard Girlwood before, you are in for a real treat.
Yep.
Well, let's not keep them waiting. I think that we need to go ahead and give them a little sample of what we're talking about here. Let's go ahead and hit them with the song Bisexual here, your new single off of Daddy. Give the listeners just some background deets on Bisexual. What's it all about?
I like to, I don't know, like, having to identify my sexuality at all, I think it's really weird, but if I would use any word, it'd be queer. But when I first came out, the word that I used to identify myself as was bisexual, and I got a lot of criticism from my peer group in a way I never expected about me using that term. And so it's kind of like just the things I'd always been like told about myself, like channeled through that song. Based on that word, I guess, you know. Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, guys, let's, without further ado, let's go ahead and hit you with it. This is Bisexual by Girlwood. Uh-huh. All right, guys. Bisexual by Girlwood. I was going to bring us in, but you know what? That yawn or that little hoot, that'll bring us in quite nicely. But guys, you guys keep such a busy tour schedule. That was one thing that I have come across again and again when I was doing my deep dive research. You guys are killing it as far as number of dates that you guys are playing. So you've been together two-piece for about a year. How many dates would you say that you guys have played in that 1 year?
Are we at roughly 300, Karen?
Dude, we did that math recently.
We did it recently, yeah. I feel like when you did it, it was about 200, but I feel like since then.
Yeah, I think I would say the same. I was saying the same. I think it's, I want to say it's like 180, 200, maybe a little over 200, definitely over 200 now, but yeah, I know, I do remember, because I did averages too, I think for the past year, we played on average, like, between 3 and 4 shows a week, every week.
Yeah, that's amazing. Whenever I was in a band, we definitely did not. I mean, unless you were touring, you know, you would gear up for tour to play, you know, 30 days in a row or, you know, 50 days in a row. But, yeah, very rarely would you have, like, I don't know, just, like, especially, like, independently booking your own stuff, that much activity. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, people have told us our entire music careers we're doing it wrong. We're terrible at managing ourselves. We're booking wrong. We're playing too often. It's never going to work. We're just stupid. Yeah, we're just two stupid girls that don't really know what we're doing. So whatever, we're just going to keep doing it. Fuck them. I'm stupid. I don't know how to stop. I just, you know, just. I'm really stupid. I just keep doing what I'm doing because I don't know what I'm doing. Nope.
Do you get that? Do people?
Yeah. But so, yeah, we do get that a lot. So like, I mean, honestly, actually not so much lately. I think people realized like, oh, you know, a ball's kind of rolling for Girlwood. So maybe what they're doing was working. Because now I've had fans approach me saying like, hey, we're trying to do what y'all are doing now. We're trying to like, you know, because when we first started, I remember Ray was like, pretty much like, she's like, we never turned down a show when I joined. She's like, we never turned down anything. Now we're to the point where we do have to turn down just because we book so often and we'll get double booked. But yeah, it's like that whole, oh, you should only play once a month in your hometown. Like, no, you should not do that, especially when you're a new band. Who's going to remember you next month when you only do one time a month?
Yeah,
there's this whole, like, everybody, people want to be a lot farther than maybe realistically where they are or what's good for their project. If you think of it as a business, it makes a little more sense. Like, if you have a business that's getting rolling, do you hide the product and you make people want it more? Like, probably not, because no one's going to know what your product is. You know what I mean? You need to make your product as readily available as possible before you pull it back and start distributing it more sparingly. You know what I mean? And I'm not even at that point yet, you know, like why am I playing music? I'm playing music because I love it. That is why I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. I want to do it full time. So what am I going to do? Play once a month? No, that's not full time. I'm going to play to make myself full time. It's what I love doing. It's what I'm here to do. And I think a lot of people see this, like this idealism of like, idealistically, it would be best if like I play once a month and I get a huge draw because I only play so often. So yeah, like Karen said, like how do you expect a lot of people to turn out for like a hometown hero that no one's ever heard of? You know what I mean? But us playing as often as we have, honestly, has only proven to provide a stable ground for community that wasn't. So consistent beforehand because they didn't have a space for it. So when you play frequently and you get the same people to turn out every single time, it ends up building a community of people that like the same things. And these people meet each other, they make friends, they make relationships, all kind of based around what's happening in music. And that would happen, I think, in any city, provided you give a consistent environment, and that's what I much rather would enjoy doing versus let's only play once a month. I'd much rather like help people meet people and help friends make friends and have fun doing it and do it all based around fucking angry alternative gay music. I don't know.
And I mean, the same type of person that tells us that shit, it's always like a, you know, some guy who's in like, he's in like a 5-piece white dude band, and it's always that kind of person, always.
Yep. But every time.
So, I mean, honestly, he can not come to the show. I don't care about him. Like, it is, like Ray said, like building a community, and it is, you know, giving a show space for people who typically don't like to go to shows because they don't want to be around all the 5-piece white dude bands, you know, so they can stay the fuck away.
Well, you know, it is different. Like it's different. It's a different way of doing something. And, you know, to anybody out there that still is kind of following the rule of, oh yeah, you know, especially, you know, maybe if you're established, maybe if you're like some like touring band, like, yeah, you know, play your hometown a couple times a year, make it a big deal. But yeah, like you were saying, for anybody that's like new and up and coming, you want to get your face out there. You want to get your product out there. And just because it's a different way of doing something doesn't mean it's the wrong way. I feel like the music business is just completely different now than it was, say, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, however many years ago. Like the music business is evolving, and you have to kind of evolve with it and basically be able to market your product accordingly. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, musicians depend way more on, you know, if you're trying to make a living off of it, musicians nowadays depend way more on live shows than they ever have due to, I mean, honestly, like streaming and the internet, you know, that's bread and butter is, you know, your shows and the merch you sell at shows.
The t-shirts!
And yeah, those t-shirts, man, we got t-shirts finally. T-shirts, it took us so long that we had somebody literally make their own Girlwood t-shirt.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, but yeah, that's how you gotta make money nowadays, and Ray and I don't have, like, typical, like, day jobs. We both are former like service industry workers. I mean, yeah, we in a sense, like someone kind of have to play all the time if we want to upkeep the lifestyle and focus our full attention on music. I mean, we have to play out.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's another thing too, why a lot of people are afraid to make that step, because to play as many shows as we are, it takes a lot of time and commitment. And if someone's used to a conventional lifestyle, i.e. having like maybe you have an apartment to yourself with a roommate where you have to pay about $400 to $600 a month to live, and you have a grocery bill, and you have a car payment to make, and you have a cell phone bill to pay, and utilities to pay. And if you have these things where you're like, well, I have this job at UPS, or I have this job here doing this, that definitely gives you that for sure guarantee and that comfort of life, knowing that like you're going to be okay. Then being a full-time musician is not what you're going to want. It's not going to make you happy, and you're never going to be able to really make that step, because you're going to have to sacrifice literally everything. You know what I mean? You have to sacrifice that stable lifestyle that requires that type of income. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But if you truly sacrifice everything and you make it so that your dream and 100% full-time is music, it will definitely do it for you. You just have to do it for it, you know? You can't put zero effort into something and expect it to just, like, turn out.
Yeah.
And for something as extreme as this type of industry and lifestyle, if you don't give it your absolute all, it will only like pick you up and find you back down.
Yeah, I think that's amazing advice. And just to kind of go back and touch on what Karen was saying earlier, like you know, people aren't. Bands, musicians out there, if you're listening, like, obviously, we're not making money off of selling albums anymore. You know what I'm saying? You're not making a lot of money off of the streams. And yeah, you might play a show twice a year and make, you know, a few $100 in merch and stuff like that because it's special. But even if you just sell one shirt, but you're playing consistently, all that's going to add up. You're going to be making more money because the live performance is where I feel like, you know, that's got to be where your source of income comes in. You know what I'm saying? Selling the merchandise. People want a souvenir from the show that they just saw, so they're going to be more apt to buy it as opposed to, oh, let me get online and just order it and have it shipped to me. You know what I'm saying? But
I mean, it's pretty crazy, like, to compare it with, like right now on Spotify alone, I think we have over 200,000 listens. And let's say this was 30 years ago, and we were talking, and I was like, yeah, man, my band has over 200,000 listens. You'd probably be like, damn, dude. You're fucking like, shoot, you probably got a lot of money or something off that. But, you know, when you make like, it's like 0.00084 cents, you know, 84th other cents or whatever, like, yeah, it's no money.
Yeah, and 20 years ago, the thing is if you were making a buzz where you're getting, you know, 200,000 ears to you, somebody would come, you know, to your door and they would sign you up for a record, you know, to a record contract, and then they would make you a band, and then they would develop you, and then they would put you on these tours to where you'd be even more successful. In this day and age, you're just out there, you're kind of thrown to the wolves because... And going into what Ray was saying, it's like you can't half-ass this. Everybody and their mom wants to be a musician right now, so you can't like half-ass it. The world's not going to meet you halfway. You have to live the lifestyle. You have to be on the grind 100% of the time.
I have something else to say about that. I feel like back in the day, it was very much all you had to do was like play the music, and there were a lot of professions that benefited very handsomely and evenly along developing other things. Like you'd have someone that would run the business, someone that would provide your presence, someone that would provide this or that. Whereas nowadays, honestly, to get to the point of someone knocking on your door, like, hey, here's this contract, you really have to do every single thing yourself. And if you can't prove it, you can do every single thing yourself. You're not going to get anywhere. You know what I mean? So us, for example, we do our own management. We do our own booking. We do our own gear. I mean, some people don't do that. I don't know. If you really aren't the full package, no one's going to look twice at the project you're presenting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Whereas back then, so there's a lot more to it than just like, oh, I can play guitar. It's like, great, well, are you an asshole? Because if you are a total straight up fucking asshole and you're hard to work with, no one's going to want to work with you. Are you good at networking and people skills? No. Well, good luck getting the connections you're going to need. You know what I mean? To get more shows or to meet people necessary. You know what I mean? Or like, oh, what about PR? What are your PR skills? Or like, who have you contacted for PR? Can you do that? No. Well, no one important will ever hear about you. And there's no way you're going to be able to get out nationally. You know, there's so many aspects, not to mention booking and management. Accounting.
Social media is
a monster in itself. It's like a whole other job skill.
Right. I mean,
yeah,
like
a lot.
We really do stay busy. You know, we
very busy.
More than like hang out, you know, at a bar waiting to play. You know, we're answering emails and messages nonstop, doing social media. Podcast interviews like this and. Which is 3 p.m. is always, I think, kind of early for Ray and I. I think, Ray, you maybe have fixed your sleep schedule a little bit.
I'm going to get up at 7 a.m. every morning. It's wild.
Yeah, I went to bed at 7 a.m.
Well, yeah. I certainly appreciate you guys being able to do this. And I know that we've kind of had some scheduling and stuff. And I just know you guys stay so busy. So I probably bugged you guys with so many emails just being like, hey, you know, I just want to confirm a day ahead because I know you guys stay busy. I know you guys got shows coming up. You know, I mean, you have a show, even though this
you're good.
I was going to say, even though this show will
you're
air
good. This is how we navigate.
A few days later, like you have a show like tonight on the night that we're, you know, talking, and you probably have a show. I know you have some shows coming up throughout the rest of the month and into October and all kinds of stuff. So, just to kind of put a bow on what we were discussing there, it is so true that like the idea of a major record label, that's the most obsolete thing ever. It's like by the time that you get to a major label status, you have already done everything that they would have done for you on your own. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. That's what I want to say. And that's what we were talking about with Gil as well. When we talked to Gil at first, Gil wasn't coming to us with a contract. Gil was like, you obviously don't need one. You're obviously already doing everything by yourself. You know what I mean? From there, we discussed like terms and specifics a little farther in. But yeah, no, there used to be this idea of like, all I have to do is play guitar and then this signing a contract will just solve all my problems. Whereas like, really, it can honestly kind of fuck you a lot more if you're not already doing that work. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And these independent labels, I mean, that's the way to go, because if you're doing the work on your own, you're working together closely with somebody. You're not working with like a corporate machine. You know what I'm saying? Like you're actually working with someone closely. That's the way to go. And I mean, with social media, with YouTube, with the fact that anybody, I mean, even this podcast, you know, it can go out to anybody in the world. Anybody in the world can press play on it and give it a listen. Like you don't have to have, you know, that whole corporate machine behind you to get people access to it anymore.
Right.
Word life. But yeah, speaking of your guys' schedule, I know you have a lot of shows coming up, and like I said, this will air, this podcast will air on October 2nd. So where do you guys go from October 2nd on? Where can people find you, out and about?
We have October 4th, right? October 4th and 6th, I think.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, that's it. Well, so October 4th, we are at the Odeon for Leo's Choice Award. And it looks like October 6th, which is a Saturday, we are playing LRS Fest. And I don't know where that is, but
LRS
we're playing that.
Is at the Browns Foreman Amphitheater. They'll be happening. Yeah. Be happening the whole weekend, I believe, but we are on Saturday for that. And, mm-hmm. October 31st, which is that Halloween-y day. We have it's under wraps right now, but I'm about to announce it tonight or tomorrow. So by the time this comes out, it should be out on the interwebs. But Girlwood Spooky Fest, going to be a band to build all ages at the Mammoth. Dang, it's going down wherever someone's at.
Yeah, I was going to say, man. People are going all out for Spooky Fest. You guys got a full police escort.
But anyways, yeah.
Sorry, there's some sirens. My dog was howling.
You're good. So Spooky Fest is going to be at the Mammoth. It's going to be all ages. It's going to start around 5 p.m. It's only going to be like $5, 10 bands. Wombo, Mosquito, Kids Born Wrong, Pleasure.
The whole family. Yeah, the whole Louisville Music family.
Yeah, 10 bands. It's going to be the Happy You. Like, there's going to be a lot of homies, and there might be some food there. I might get some to cater. We will see. If anybody wants to cater and you're listening, hit us up. It's all ages, Halloween day. Five books, five clams, five McChickens. So, yeah.
Well, you guys heard it here first.
It's happening Halloween day.
It's going to be Halloween day.
It's happening Halloween day because I saw, you know, I understand like, oh yeah, people want to do stuff, you know, like the Saturday before Halloween. I totally get that. But
what time does it start? What time does it end if it's during the day?
It starts at 5 p.m. So if you go to school, you got time to get out of school and get there. We're going to.
Dope.
Yeah, and it should be over right after midnight-ish. So it won't be too late for you if you're 16 and got to get to school the next day. I saw that I didn't really see any events on actual Halloween day. And I was like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, cool, Saturday before Halloween, you know, do your stuff, do your shit, whatever. But, like, these are on Halloween day, so I was like, I'm going to play a show with a bunch of my friends, and if you want to come out, come out. If not, then shoot, I'm going to fucking just jam out to Wombo by myself, because Wombo is shit, if you haven't heard it.
Yeah.
Well, you
I
guys
love Wombo, Mosquito, and Dirt Grush.
listeners, you heard it here first. Halloween show, Girlwood Spooky Fest. It's going to be October 31st, 5 p.m. Okay, so once you get out of school, go straight over. It's going to be at Mammoth. It's $5. And it'll be done by midnight, so you can still get home and do your homework. So that's a win-win right there.
Or a costume. Maybe we'll do a costume contest.
Maybe there'll be costumes. Maybe there will be food. Maybe there will be tricks. Maybe there will be treats. You have to go
and
to find out.
Girlwood's costume. Girlwood might dress up as in clown posse, I've heard, through the grapevine.
Oh, yeah, I heard that, too.
I heard that we might be Shaggy 2 Dope and Violent J.
Do you ever wonder if Violent J is just Guy Fieri in makeup?
I think he's also bigger Smash Mouth.
who knows?
I checked.
I've never seen them all in the same room together.
Actually.
So.
Say again?
I said, you know, who knows? I've never seen them all in the same room. But could you imagine if Violent J hosted Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives? That'd be great. He would just probably just drink Faygo and be like, yeah, that's money right there.
Dude,
money.
Totally watch that, like. I mean, Ray and I went to Lexington the other day and kind of just reminisced, you know, on like music we used to listen to, and we listened to ICP the whole way to Lexington the other day. And I don't know, there's cool elements about ICP. They really had built like a, definitely like a community of people.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most impressive followings of a band since like the Grateful Dead, honestly.
Yeah, and they're diehards too. Like the fans, like they kind of remind me of like wrestling fans or like Star Wars fans or something like that. It's a ride or die group of people that will buy anything with the logo on it. And not only that, if they put out something that sucks, they will literally be the first person to like just be like, "Oh, dude, it's not so bad." Like they'll make excuses for it, and they'll just buy the next thing that comes out, dude. I was a big I was a big ICP fan back in you know 6th 7th grade back in the day when Great Malenko came out.
What is the Jackal?
Exactly.
I like it. I think it's like
Go on, you're good. Oh, I told Ray that I wanted to send a submission to the Gathering of the Juggalos for us to play.
Dude, oddly enough, ICP comes up on this podcast so often because so many people secretly love ICP, and I'm telling you, the Gathering.
I secretly love ICP because it's not a secret. Like, fuck.
But dude, going to the Gathering of the Juggalos, it's on my bucket list of things to do. Like, I have to go, and if Girlwood's playing, I'm definitely going to be there. That's for sure.
Dude, we should fucking ask to play. Holy shit, that could be either like. It's probably gonna be really awesome. Actually, it'd probably be super fucking awesome.
I bet
it'd be great.
Yeah, I bet it'd be just like hanging out with like, you know, thousands of people that are really cool. Like, I bet that they're like, I went to Bonnaroo and I camped next to this whole clan of Juggalos, and they were like the coolest people I've ever been to like a music concert with. You know what I'm saying? It was insane. But yeah, I imagine the Gathering to just be like that times 10,000.
Yeah, I think it's like really good. I mean, I grew up definitely like very poor, lower class. And I feel like what I saw being young and like seeing ICP and the people that brought together is totally like a classicism thing happening where like a lot of people were like, hey, you know, we've been mistreated by these groups of people, but we bond together based on that oppression of classicism. And therefore, like, we stand together in that. And I think that's why the community sense is like so fucking strong in it, because it's not based around race or what you buy, or but it's all kind of based on the whole like, yo, I do what the fuck I can to get by, and fuck you.
Yeah,
you're a piece of shit. Yeah, and fuck you, and I'm a piece of shit, and fuck all y'all.
I got into ICP when I didn't really have friends in middle school, and then at the start of high school when I started making friends, it was all these like, it was like Juggalo kids who like didn't give a fuck that I was like kind of weird or dressed differently, you know. They like definitely like took me in, didn't give a fuck, which growing up I really didn't care. Like I'd maybe heard ICP a little bit, was like, I don't know how I feel about it. But and after meeting some of the people who are like engrossed in it, and just I don't know, What it boils down to, like, they're a cool group. They've got some fun shit. And I'm trying to go to camp at the Gathering. It's only like...
Yes.
It's only like $100.
Represent. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. It's like $100 for like a week. And, you know, if you go there and you don't have clothes, like, they clothe you. They give you water. They give you free food. Like, I was reading about this online that they, like, provide for you if you come there, like, with nothing. Like, and it's $100 for a week. Bonnaroo's what, like $400 for 3 days?
Yeah, it's way expensive.
Dude, the fucking Gathering the Juggalos, I want to go. I think it's a beautiful thing. I got some like deep reasons for it, but I think it's beautiful. And yeah.
Well, listeners, if you're going to join us, Gathering of the Juggalos, okay, Karen's going to be there, Big Reg will be there, and Sean will be there also, and we're going to make it happen. So definitely, Gathering of the Juggalos 2019, you'll see our asses there, that's for sure. But yeah, and also, before we ride off into the sunset, I do want to give a shout out, too, because you guys are playing a show with my homies in Prayer Line at Kaiju coming up in October. And Jake from Prayer Line and Never Nervous, and he's always doing podcasts with me here, and he's my cousin. So, and he's the one that was always like, dude, you got to get Girlwood. Yes.
What? Dude, we were hanging out with Jake last night, actually.
I saw that.
At the Mercury Ballroom. We did the Glitter Gala. He's freaking awesome. Actually, we got I have this idea. So there's a place in Brandenburg, Kentucky called Jailhouse Pizza. It's fucking great. Great pizza, at least. But they have an 11-pound pizza challenge, and you get a partner. And you got to do in like an hour and a half, whatever. But I'm trying to have Girlwood versus, honestly, whoever, if you want to challenge us. But Girlwood versus Never Nervous pizza challenge is hopefully going to happen soon.
Well, you better hope he doesn't pick his cousin, Sean, because all 265 pounds of me will take on all 11 pounds of that pizza, and that will be a thing. Jake and I are the mega powers, so the mega powers will have to run wild on Girlwood when it comes to this 11-pound pizza challenge.
I don't know, man. I have a fast metabolism. You see how little and tiny I am?
That's true.
Dude, Ray might be the secret weapon of the group. Like, I'm definitely bigger than her.
Karen's a bird eater. Karen, you took a bird.
Oh, but hey, let me get stoned and go, and y'all not recognize me.
Oh, I didn't know we were allowed to take performance-enhancing drugs for this challenge.
I mean, I'm going to make me kiss in the cup, Sean.
Yeah, we have to get physicals done, and we have to do like a weigh-in and everything. We got to make it 100% official.
I'm gonna totally start working out real hardcore before we do this pizza challenge to make sure like my metabolism is like really, really high, and that I can like consume like ridiculous amount of calories, and my body will take it.
Yeah, and I didn't even think about that. I'll probably be tuckered out from all the chewing. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure my energy level at my size will just wane. So that might. That might work against me. I don't know. It will be a very well matched challenge. And Jake Hellman, cousin, second member of the Mega Powers, Girlwood has called us out. So 11-pound pizza, we'll have to do it. We'll have to do it. And then afterwards, we'll celebrate by getting tickets to the Gathering of the Juggalos and watching The Matrix.
Yay! This is like a good time,
dude. Hell yeah.
It is what it is. But hell yeah, guys. But yeah, as we're winding down here, too, it's been so awesome chatting with you guys, getting to know you guys. That's what I love about this podcast because, you know, we've never talked before today, and we're just making it happen. Where can people find you guys online, on your social media?
Everywhere. Facebook, Instagram. We got Twitter, but we don't really keep up with it because we fucking hate
that
shit. But
Karen does great the Instagram though.
Yeah, yeah. I love the Instagram. Love it. Our music too is everywhere. You can even get on Tidal and fucking find us. I'm on Tidal. Come find me.
If you want to communicate with us though, Facebook is good. If you message Go With The Band on Facebook, we will see it.
Yeah, we reply to every single message. So if you even want to just be like, hey, I hate y'all.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Fuck you.
Fuck y'all.
You butch ass bitches. We like that fuel for our fire.
Well, excellent, guys.
Or some nice, cute emojis. My favorite emoji right now is the whale blowing the water out of itself. That's my favorite.
So definitely make sure, listeners, go to Girl with the Band's Facebook, send that emoji of water coming out of a fucking whale's blowhole, and they're going to go crazy about it. All right. The quickest way to Girlwood's heart is through the blowhole, ladies and gentlemen.
Through the blowhole, baby.
But yeah, guys, let me ask you too. I meant to ask you this in the podcast, but since better late than never, let me ask you, what are some of your bands that you're most influenced by? Let me just end this with a real generic question.
You want me to go?
I don't know. I feel like there are bands I listen to and I like, but then influence, I think I'm not really consciously aware of what influences me. By the time the music comes out of me, I think it's like so small amounts of so many things I've ever listened to. So it's really hard to be like, what influences you, you know? It's like, well, fuck, I don't know. I like Madonna pop music. I like Lady Gaga. I like Rihanna. I like Drake. I like Bjork. I've always liked Bjork. I don't know, dude. That's about it. I don't know. I listen to, yeah, that's, I don't know. But does that influence me? Like, I guess, sure, right? But I don't know.
Yeah, Ray's music taste always, it always surprised me that first when I met her, because I was like, oh, I bet you listen to like Riot Girl punk or something.
No, I didn't even know what Riot Girl punk was until like a couple months ago.
Oh, I think, yeah, because I, well, whenever I met Ray, I was like, oh, did you spell girl and girl with GRL is like an ode to Riot Girl? And Ray was like, what? What's that?
What?
Yeah, I definitely like punk music. I'm really influenced by, like Ray said, made a good point of like what you listen to, what you like isn't always necessarily what influences you. But I have so much respect for this band, and fuck you to everybody. But Hole, I love Hole with Courtney.
Oh, Hole's great.
That band, if you haven't listened to Pretty on the Inside, their first album, which Courtney Love herself said is unlistenable. Oh, whatever. Go listen to that album. That album, that really, really influences me. Yeah, go listen to Hole. They have, there's also a really good documentary about their drummer, and it's rare to have a documentary about a drummer and a woman drummer, so check that shit out. Hole. Listen to them.
You heard it first, guys. You gotta check out this hot new band called Hole. Just kidding. Everybody knows Hole, and you got to revisit it. Make it happen. And I can't just, you know what? I can't just let it go. Like, hey, what's your influences? What a dumb last question. Here's a better question to finish off this interview. What did you say to anybody out there that's listening? What kind of advice can you give them, I guess, either in life or in bands or in success or in doing your own thing? What advice would you leave for the listeners today?
Whatever you do, do it well.
Life is too short to not get exactly what you want.
Perfect.
Bam. Nailed it.
Also, always check under every frozen pizza to make sure there's not cardboard.
Yes, guys, that's the real valuable lesson here today. Follow your dreams, don't half-ass anything, and always check for cardboard. It is what it is. So, guys, that's going to be it for us today. If you like what you heard today, definitely check out Girlwood. They're on all social medias, and they're doing really well on Instagram. Karen loves her Instagram. So,
love it.
Yes, so definitely make sure you check it out. And, guys, if you like what you heard today and you want to check out the podcast, well, something tells me that you did like what you heard today because you made it all the way to the end of the podcast. But Sean vs. Wild is on iTunes. It's on Spotify. It's on Stitcher. I'm not as cool as Girlwood. I'm not on Tidal. But, you know, you guys might be the only people I know that actually have Tidal. So, but you can...
Yeah, I have Tidal.
You can check it out. Check out the podcast. Check out Girlwood, wherever you enjoy listening to music and podcasts. So definitely do that. And in the meantime, we have a pizza challenge to prepare for. And we got to get our face paint ready for the Gathering of the Juggalos. So for Karen, Big Reg, and
I'm
Sean.
I'm a juggalugga local. What is a juggalow? But naked.
Because Sabu, your mama, threw a coffee table. But yes, guys, Karen, Big Reg, the Regmeister, thanks so much for joining me here. This has been the Sean vs. Wild Podcast.
Thank you for listening, DNN.